The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Christmas is a time when many of us look forward to gathering together, reuniting with those returning from abroad, revisiting our family traditions. But some will have none of that conviviality. And all that Christmas brings is the heartache of loss. And sometimes even the supports that are normally there evaporate as those caring people take time to be with their own families. And some, of course, can be lonely even when surrounded by others. So what can you or should you do to help those you suspect may be lonely this Christmas, or even in jeopardy with the plummeting temperatures? Well, joining me now to talk about all of this is Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin, and Sean Moynihan, the CEO of Alone. Good morning and welcome to you both. Brendan, Christmas is a kind of a contradiction. If you've lost someone around the Christmas period, then every year is tinged with sadness. On the other hand, everything you see on the telly suggests slap-up family meals and joy unconfined.
Yes, Christmas is a time for being together and connecting with families and friends. So it does accentuate the losses of the previous year, perhaps. Also losses that occurred around Christmas time. So there is this strange paradox. There is this enforced jollity. And yet many people feel even less able to participate than they might normally do. And of course, now this comes on top of an increasing recognition that loneliness and social isolation are such problems at any time of year. But as you say, the pressure on this increases greatly at Christmas. So older adults, and indeed younger people who are often highlighted as lonely young adults as well, tend to find this a very difficult time to navigate. And that's maybe something that the rest of us should bear in mind.
Now, people who are suffering a loss, a bereavement, should they cancel Christmas?
No, Christmas, you know, cannot be cancelled. It comes like a juggernaut. So it's important to navigate Christmas mindfully. And this is for everyone who has experienced loss or might be around people who have experienced a bereavement. Because this time of remembering, this time of looking back can be helpful. It can be healing. Once we create space, once we're a little bit tolerant, once we realise some people are going to hold back. Some people will decline the invitations to come around to the house. And they might have very good reasons for doing that, personal reasons, but that should not stop us inviting people and making sure they feel involved.
Sometimes, though, the reluctance is based, well, I'll only spoil their Christmas if I'm misery boots at the Christmas table. Should you do a Mrs. Doyle on it? You will. And, you know, insist on them coming around in the belief that, you know, surrounded maybe by younger people, by children, by the whole idea of Santa Claus, that, you know, it'll evoke maybe some nicer memories.
I think it's important people feel welcome and are encouraged to come. I would not go as far as Mrs. Doyle. Sometimes it's helpful to invite people to some smaller event, maybe not Christmas dinner with all of the hype and the pressure that that involves, but maybe for a walk on the following day. You know, things like small talk, time spent doing low intensity contact activities are what people need. Often they don't want to explore the issues that are troubling them or their losses. They just want to be with someone. They just want to go for a walk. They just want to have a cup of tea. And these are the building blocks for really addressing loneliness and addressing social isolation. The big ticket Christmas events, Christmas dinner, New Year's Eve, that might be just too much. By all means, invite people, but maybe settle for something calmer, something more companionable that will really help address the isolation.
Now, the question of alcohol, it's, I suppose, a social lubricant, but it tends to be overdone somewhat at Christmas, and there are dangers.
Absolutely. I mean, many people do not want to drink alcohol at Christmas, or they feel that, you know, they want to feel well the next morning. They want to be bright and full of energy, and yet they feel pressured to do so. So once again, it's very much a case of keeping an eye on one's own drinking, but also remembering not to pressure other people. That, you know, again, we need to not be Mrs. Doyle telling people to go on, you'll take another one. Some people have very good reasons for not wanting to do that. They may have had a problem with alcohol at some point, or they may know that they will feel sad and lonely tomorrow, or it will remind them of losses. So again, it's all about giving people a little bit of space and tolerating people's desire not to drink alcohol and to do other things instead.
Now, you and I are talking about, you know, people who are lonely, but there are people listening to us now who are those people who are dreading Christmas and, you know, who cannot wait for January the 2nd. That's just what they want when the whole holiday season is over. What do you say to those people listening to us now?
Well, to those people listening, remember, you know, you do not have to participate in the very intense, very social Christmas events that are happening all around you. But it is a good idea to keep in touch with other people by phone, or by whatever method, or by going for walks, to whatever extent you are happy to do so. Don't feel pressured into, you know, frenzied socializing. Very few people actually enjoy that, but you will feel better if you do your best to keep in touch. And remember, the people who reach out to you and get in touch, they genuinely do want you to participate. They want to talk to you, they want to hear from you, so it is important for them as well. I mean, you know, loneliness, it's a very social phenomenon, and it's by staying in touch with each other that we manage to, you know, both parties can reduce the isolation and reduce the loneliness. You know, meeting people in groups or in small groups is helpful. We know loneliness is associated with increased risk of heart disease and stroke and depression and anxiety. So just taking those little steps is important. But please don't feel pressured to join in the frenzied socializing that some people do. It's not necessary.
A text has just come to me. It is a wonderful, yet a very, very bittersweet time of the year. I've had many losses, and for the first time in my life, I'm going to be on my own this Christmas. It's going to be challenging, but I will get through it. I feel for others that are in a similar situation, so I hope that others will be okay at this time of year. And I wish all your listeners a peaceful Christmas. That's from Laura. Brendan, thank you very much for joining us. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin. Now, Sean Moynihan, the CEO of Alone, listening to our conversation. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Now, tell me, what can Alone do, and what advice can Alone give us to help it get through the work it has to do this Christmas?
Yeah, I suppose for us, our winter campaign has been shared warmth, which is obviously from a heating point of view, an energy crisis, stay warm to stay well. But also on top of that is trying to keep older people connected to their community. A lot of evidence, we've just finished a 4-year work with Trinity at the moment on a report that proves that the social connection, the emotional connection, actually keeps older people healthy and well.
Now, in terms of those emotional connections, as we've been talking to Brendan about, you know, making the effort to make sure that people feel welcome, but also respecting their wishes if they decide that they don't really want to party. Maybe they don't like the cacophony of all those children and Santa Claus that I mentioned. They prefer their own space on that particular day. But there are others who nobody thinks of and maybe presumes that others are going to look after them.
Yeah, I think what we'd say is around 10% of older people are lonely or will struggle with finances this winter, and that's around 100,000 people. So I think the reality is it's about, you know, respecting people's boundaries, respecting people's wishes, but putting out the hand of friendship. Every great conversation starts with hello. And I think the reality is, during the likes of COVID, what we saw was the community reaching out, and we saw older people who might have been isolated or lonely or needing support reaching out too. And a lot of those connections have prevailed and continued. And so sometimes out of these challenges, we build the relationships that we need to sustain each other.
Now, there are practical things as well. I mean, people who are maybe a bit wary about walking the pavements to get groceries or even pick up a prescription at the pharmacy, and they may, you know, have to go out and brave it, but perhaps you could do them a good turn and pick it up for them.
I think that's where it is. You know, we all know how active and how great so many older people are. But for those who maybe have been bereaved, those who maybe are over 75, those who have underlying health conditions and on their own, these times of winter with the short days, the cold, the ice, can be very difficult. And, you know, and a friendly hello, a practical support, you know, making sure people have access to medication, to heating and to food, you know, and empowering older people to remain linked in with us all, and also, as you say, to get through this season as best we all can.
Yeah. And also, Alone has a number that is available 7 days a week from 8 in the morning until 8 in the evening. It's 0818 222 0824. So that's 0818 222 024, and 7 days a week from 8 until 8. And thank you very much for joining us, Sean Moynan, the CEO of Alone.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.